Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Now, top of the sixth, two outs, 75 pitches, probably going to finish the inning somewhere close to 80. I'd love to see it, but this is a lot of pitches in the playoffs for him to be able to pitch the entire game. If it turns into a 5-0 game or a 6-0 game, yeah, but if it's 1-0, the Astros aren't going to mess around and say, well, we're going to leave Garcia in to get that no-hitter. He's up above 100 pitches, 110 pitches. So I would put the chance at this right now at like less than 10% that we see him doing it all by himself, just because of the game and the situation with everything else going on, that with a berth in the World Series on the line, the Astros aren't going to let him out there and say, ah, we'll see what happens if he gives up it. No, he'll be out of the game before then.
Well, the no-hitter is over. As you speak, a triple deep center field.
I just jinxed it. Literally,
as you're filibustering, talking about how he's going to go out and, he's not going to stick around. The ball goes flying off the bat. Whoa! Kike Hernandez gives it a ride. He thought he got it all.
Well, I was right. I said less than 10% chance. There you go. Now it's over. I'm good.
The thing, right? The longest outing that he's had all season, Garcia, came back on June 1st against these very same Boston Red Sox. He went 7 innings, gave up 1 earned run, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts in that game to get the win. And after giving up the hit, well, there he goes, the long walk to the dugout. Slow walk, because he wants to soak up every one of those cheers. I got to applaud him for that. I like the way he did that. Slow played. Didn't really acknowledge the crowd, but the slow walks, like, soak it up, man. Yeah. Soak it up. You are right now a hero. Yes. Although in this game now, you got a runner on, 90 feet, wild pitch. Anything can happen. All of a sudden, all that work goes out the window.
Yeah, and how about the fact that I said, he's not going to make it to the ninth inning. He's thrown a lot of pitches. Nope, that was the last pitch he threw of the game.
Gets hammered.
Not only did I end the no-hitter for him, I ended his night. That's it. You're done. I'm sorry. It's over for you.
He hammered that ball, too. I don't know if your feet is caught up finally, so you saw exactly how hard he hit it. Like, my God. He got all of it. And so now we've got some drama here. Two outs in the top of the sixth, 1-0 game. Yordan Alvarez becoming one of those breakthrough players, right? Everybody kept waiting on him and speculating of when he was going to break out. All the comparison to David Arias Ortiz have been made, and tonight some more of that.
So 1-0 Astros in the top of the sixth, inning, two outs. Red Sox threatening here, and look. Eovaldi had a phenomenal fourth inning in which, two hits to start the inning. The Astros have second and third, nobody out. And you're thinking this is going to get away from the Astros quickly. And then he strikes out the side to end the inning, which is one of those whoa crazy moments, because I did not see that coming. This is one of those, hey, we're trying to clinch, we're good. This is where the floodgates open, and suddenly Eovaldi says no with 3 strikeouts, and clearly he put a lot into that because he only made it one more batter after that. That was a really big swing of momentum right there, keeping the Red Sox in this game as they bat in the top of the sixth. And oh, by the way, every time you say Kike Hernandez's name, Dodger fans go, If we just had him this playoff, if we had Kike Hernandez, everything would be fine. We'd be up 3-2.
Yeah. And then you look at the up and down the lineup, at the assets that had been acquired through the year, and almost every other team across Major League Baseball goes, if we could have only gotten one of those guys, we might have. Wait, Trey Turner was the throw-in? Wait, what?
Just need one of the guys. Just one.
Just one. How about you spare one of those guys? No, look, it's it's chaos. It's the league championship series. It's winning time. I actually had someone tell me earlier, it's like, I'm done with baseball. I'm like, all right, I'm going to ignore you for the next week.
Oh, dude, you want the best baseball is done story ever? This is the best story ever. So this is, I'm going back to 2015. All right, this is Mets Dodgers NLDS, right, when DeGrom becomes DeGrom, right, when he becomes the guy. He doesn't have his best stuff, but he beats the Dodgers in Game 5. There's a kid that Zoe went to school with. His name is Jeffrey, and he was the biggest baseball fan. All he was is Dodgers, Dodgers, Dodgers. Like, this is like first grade. Dodgers, Dodgers. Oh, Mr. Jason, the Dodgers are going to beat your Mets. They're going to beat your Mets. They're going to beat. And that's all he would say to me for the whole week. You know, he's in first grade. I'm like, oh, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. But he's all, we're going to beat your Mets. And then he gets everybody else going, yeah, beat the Mets. Beat the Mets. I'm like, how did I do this? I don't even do this on the show and get people this mad at me. And they're all walking around going, beat the Mets. So the whole week they would see me. They go, beat the Mets.
Do you not read your mentions?
Right. Well, I wasn't saying anything. I'm not antagonizing the kid, or I'm not saying anything bad about him. Like, it's not like
yeah, I bet say, you by you Wednesday what? You did. You snap back.
Your parents are overrated. Let me tell you how overrated your parents are. Okay, let me tell you a couple of stories. Right. Number one. So the whole thing goes right. So the Mets win. DeGrom pitches unbelievably. The Mets go on to the NLCS, and I see Jeffrey the next day at school. I go, hey, Jeffrey. I go, see the end of that game last night? Who won? And he goes, oh, baseball season's over. And he walks away from me, and that was
That's nicely
like,
done.
Are you kidding me? What do you mean baseball season's over? All I had to do was laugh. He's like, no, baseball season's over. I'm walking away. All the smack talking he did, he just walks away after that. Baseball season's over.
Yeah, these are all my friends back in Chicago. And I'm like, I get it. You've turned the page and you're all excited about Justin Fields against Tom Brady this weekend. Game we'll talk about as the night goes on.
It's Bymageddon, Mike Harmon. You got to say it's Bymageddon week in the NFL for fantasy, man. Bymageddon.
Get over it. Find another option. Find a way. Find a way. Next man up.
Dude,
happens in fantasy as
dude,
well.
Dude, you and I in the Dynasty League are starting Dante Pettis.
I know,
week.
Buddy.
That's how
I know.
That's how
no, believe me, buddy. It's I'm not saying it's pretty out there. I actually had a friend text me earlier. He's like, can you do anything to try to surgically repair my squad? Yeah. Between injuries and bye weeks, it is not pretty. I can't even field a starting lineup right now. I'm like, all right, no, that's bad. All right, let's go in and let's take a look at what we need to surgically repair. Oh, wow. Mm. Yeah, literally three of the normal starters on the roster actually playing.
It's killing everybody this week. It's killing everybody. If the Bucks were on, it would be probably the worst week in all of football as far as buys go, because you have so many players from so many teams that are not playing. All your Bills players, all your Cowboys players, all your Vikings players, because you're playing everybody there. Steelers players, you're playing the Chargers playing. Jaguars, you're not really playing anybody except for Robinson. But all the other teams, you're playing everybody. It's Bymageddon. And hey, I know we're starting Dante Pettis. I felt fortunate that we actually got him.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at right now. I'm like, oh, man, thank God we got
Well, how do you feel? Guys. Think I feel in that guillotine league? I don't have a whole lot of money left, so no. I get another injury or bye week. Yeah. And this week, you know, because of the craziness of trying to play defense and really not expecting to survive after losing all my running backs before the season even began, yeah. I had all those bids, and I bid like a crazy person. Well, and then I had Herbert and Josh Allen. Hey, they're both off this
yeah.
week.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough.
So I think I'm starting Mac Jones against your Jets.
Nice. Hey, yo, dude, you're fine then. Don't worry about it. You're starting Mac Jones. You're not starting
I figure
Zach
I'm going to get 250
okay.
and two. Then it's just a question of what the rest of the
yeah.
squad does.
No, you're good. You're good. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So we'll have more. Look, it's a big night baseball right now. It's 1-0 Houston with the lead. They get out of that jam in the top of the six with a pop-up. So still 1-0 as the Astros bat in the bottom of the six. We got lots of NFL to get to. We have our big upset special picks coming your way. We got the lay double the points picks. We have lots of things. But let's get to what clearly is the most important result of the night in sports that dwarfs everything when it's all said and done. Alex,
oh, no.
Here's Tebow.
Oh, it's a game! It is out of here!
What a special moment for Tebow. There it is!
Okay. Yeah, great. That's great, Tebow. Now let's have the real big – and if you play the butt fumble – I will get a McRib and I will shove it down your throat.
That's next week already.
Yeah, I know.
Counting days,
it's coming, man. It's coming. McRib is coming. All right, now here it is. The big result of the night.
With the 39th pick in the 2013 NFL draft, the New York Jets select Geno Smith. Quarterback, West Virginia.
Listen to how the crowd liked it and then said, oh, no.
West Virginia. Start singing it like Mark Strong in The Kingsman. Because you know imminent doom is there.
I'm standing on a pressure plate outside a diner in the middle of the jungle.
Country roads.
This plot really makes sense. Come on, let's take another Kingsman.
Hey, you shut up. You celebrate that whole thing and Elton John fighting people. Come on.
No, I like Kingsman. Kingsman's a lot of fun.
Can't wait for the new one.
A lot of fun. Yes. Ray Fiennes.
I'm in.
But
does he have any Voldemort lines? Anyway,
I don't think he has a nose in this. He's not going to have a nose.
Wow. Well, you know, you got to keep in character.
From now on, you put your faith in me. I always run that line with the girls I'm coaching in soccer.
I say you should do that as a coach.
Yeah, I do it. No, because when I tell them to do something and like they mess it up and don't do it, and I'm like, no, like trust me on it, trust me. I go, from now on, you put your faith in me, and I do it just like he does it. I touch my heart, and they look at me, and go, Coach, I'm not going to do it if you talk like Voldemort. I'm like, all right, I won't do it. But here is the biggest result of the night.
Final second, and that will do it in Orlando. The Knicks 121, the Magic 96, and the Knicks cruise against the Magic to get to 2-0 on this young NBA season.
And I'm back. Back in the New York groove.
Wow. Nicely done.
I'm back. If the season ended today, the Knicks are the number one seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs. I'm just saying, if the season ended today, they're number one seed in the playoffs.
I think that's really exciting for you. I mean, we had a barn burner, over with Brooklyn and Philadelphia.
Ah, who cares
so much
about
still
that?
Come on, still so much swirling around Philly. Ah. So, if the losses start to mount, everybody gets all chatty. I did like that you brought in back in the New York groove. I was listening to something where they were playing the, old, hey, can you identify this song off a couple of, basically name that tune for tickets to all sorts of different things. And they played the riff from Love Gun, and they went through like seven people. Nobody knew it. I'm like, really? And then they shut the door. It's like, really? Come on, you're on a classic rock station. What are we doing here, people? And then finally, they kept adding more to it, and they actually got to the chorus. I'm like, you really needed to get to the chorus? You people all suck. Because I got my 13-year-old yelling, Love Gun!
And let me just say again, and I'll say this every single night, all y'all are sleeping on the Knicks, and everybody who said the Knicks were going to be bad.
They
all
suck.
Because I don't want to talk about the Knicks because everybody talks about the Knicks. Yeah, the Knicks are going to be really bleeping good. They're already really bleeping good. And this is how they're going to be, and this is how they're going to beat people, and they're going to run 10 deep out there. And they got two great players in the offseason who are going to provide the offense they need. It was an easy jump to the next level. This is going to be Knicks basketball, man. Yep. I'm telling you, everybody is sleeping
on it. Step to the right.
Everybody's sleeping on it. I'm ready for the Knicks Bowl. Knicks Bowls, Eastern Conference Finals. I'm ready.
Hey, I might get an Obi Toppin jersey when it's said and done, buddy.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hello.
Houston still leads Boston 1-0. Make it 2-0 in the bottom of the sixth inning. One out, and the Astros got runners at the corners. A bang-bang play at first base. Kyle Schwarber throws home late to get Alvarez, who scores the second run of the night for the Astros. And again, they now lead it 2-0 for Alvarez. He is now 3-for-3 on the night. He has driven in a run. He has scored a run. This has been a night, if you like pitching, this is everything you could possibly want in the world. 2-0, you got a great night from Eovaldi. We had a near no-hitter from Garcia. 2-0 is the Astros bat in the bottom of the sixth inning. And the play in question was a ground ball that was ripped at Kyle Schwarber down to first base. And there was a bit of craziness behind him because it didn't look like the runner could tell if the ball was caught on the fly by Schwarber or on the ground. So he tried to go back to first. It was a one hop to Schwarber, who goes down on the ground to get it. He makes the play. He comes up. He makes the tag. He stands on first base, and then he tries to throw home, which is too late to get Alvarez. You really think you're going to get a triple play on a ground ball back to you? Look, it got the two outs, and I think, you know, in normal circumstances, all right, but this is a game you put zeros up on the board. You have one hit in the game. You have to go home and try to get that out if he is breaking. You can't simply say, all right, I'm going to make the tag. I'm going to step on the base. I'm going to turn my attention away and then try to go home. You can't let that run score look. And while it was a nice defensive play by Kyle Schwarber, clearly, you know, he's not in the game for his defense. That's a play where he's got to go home. You can't let that run cross and try to go with a double play. And he kind of went on contact. So Schwarber clearly could have come up with it, thrown home. They would have gotten him out, and it would have been first and second with one out, which, all right, but still, you don't have that run across the plate.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting him because he had trouble getting back up off the ground. Like, that was not a smooth, hey, I fielded this one hopper, and I got right back to my feet. Like, there was just that moment of curiosity, right? Because you had Correa coming back to the base and trying to figure out whether it was caught and then decides to run. So you get the two, and then Schwarber doesn't have the best arm. Maybe if he's got a cannon of an arm, he would have gotten him. But I playing even with the base, I don't think he was going to get him out even if he'd come up with it cleanly. So
I think he might have, because he you saw him, he comes up and he has to make the tag and he stands on the bag and then he throws home. I think he might have had a better chance to get him. Just because of the different thing, because the ball was hitting a smash to him. So it's not like there was any, it's not like it was a two hop or three hop.
No, sure.
Under. I think he would have had it.
Yeah, I just think he had that moment when he was trying to get back up that just he lost all sense of space for a second there. And then
realized
because because I think Alvarez might have thought the same thing that Correa did, that maybe he got it cleanly, even though he should have had a clean look at it coming up the line on off third. But either way, they get out of it. Damage is done. Look, because in the end, you got to score more than one run anyway. You know, you want to beat the Astros. Generate a run here at some point. You know, you got your first hit. Maybe that releases the hounds. Maybe that opens the floodgates. Likely not. Mm. But, hey, crazy things have happened in these playoffs. All they need is Chris Taylor to show up.
So 2-0 Astros. The Red Sox get out of the inning with any more runs, but the Astros 9 outs away from another berth in the World Series. We'll be whistling all night tonight. Too soon for that? Too soon for the whistle? Too soon.
That was too soon.
Game of the night in the NBA. We already talked about it. It was the Knicks. No, but the real game of the night in the NBA, it looked like the Sixers were going to get their second win of the season. They were up big over the Nets into the fourth quarter. Again, playing without Ben Simmons, who is not, quote, mentally ready to play for the Sixers with everything going on. Okay, we can roll our eyes and get to that in a second. But the Sixers give away that big lead, and the Nets come back and win it 114-109. 29 from Kevin Durant and 23 off the bench from LaMarcus Aldridge. Remember, he retired for 10 years before coming back to play for the Nets. So the Nets get a much-needed victory without Kyrie Irving. Again, another day, another game, no vaccine for him. He's not going to play for quite a long time. And the Nets escape with one. And the Sixers, you were thinking they were going to be able to say, hey, listen, we just beat one of the favorites in the East. We're 2-0. Everything is great. We don't need Ben Simmons. Now it's, ooh, now we're 1-1. We've given away a big lead, and we're answering questions about Ben Simmons. It's just never going to end until the Sixers trade him. It's just not.
Well, no, we night by night, I mean, and we saw some of the teammates stand up for him, right, and just say, hey, he's our guy, and when he's ready, he'll come back. I mean, you know, veteran leadership trying to step up, a game effort here. Harris and Curry both with 23, Embiid and Maxey 19 of 15 respectively. You know, solid effort, just not enough. And look, this is the two teams that have the most drama in the NBA, not having anything to do with Russell Westbrook and fitting in with Los Angeles and bad words by the coach and all of those things. You've got the two biggest stories. Harden and Durant combined for 49. 22-20. It's pretty good night. But yeah, Aldridge, 23 off the bench, 10 of 12, man. 10 of 12, and then Patty Mills. You add some of those veterans that you forget about because everybody talked about how old the Lakers were. These guys are old too. Here's the thing: these guys are playing right now.
Everybody's old. Everybody's old.
Look, that's all right. And it's all relative. I mean, because, look, you and I are veritable geezers compared to these guys. And 32 in 2021 NBA terms is not 32 from, say, 1988.
Yeah, when you were done. You were done at 32 and 88. Oh, I'm 32, man. I got nothing left. I'm done. Because, that was when you were done when you were 35. You were done.
Yeah.
Like, you had been on the back end of your career for a while, and you were finished at 35. And now, once you get to 36 is when you start the decline. So, you've definitely seen players extend their primes a lot. I don't know. Ben Simmons might be 36 by the time he figures out a situation with the Sixers. I'm done with this story. I'm done with Ben Simmons and all the games they're playing that, I can't practice today because I'm getting treatment for a back injury. No, I can't practice today because I'm not mentally ready to play. Just trade the guy. Okay, every day that goes on, I think I could walk in, clear out the 76ers, and put in all of my own people and run the team and have things done better. I mean, I can grab Ty Pennington with a bullhorn saying, we're going in, we're going to just completely make over this front office, let's tear the walls down and get in there and do it. I mean, this is a controversy that doesn't need to be here. This could have been solved. I keep saying it could have been solved so long ago. He doesn't want to play there. Clearly, it's not going to work. Oh, he was a little bit more engaged at practice today. Does that mean he didn't have a cell phone with him? Oh, I took the cell phone out and put it on the side, so I'm more engaged at practice. He doesn't want to be there. I'm sorry that you can't get what you think he is worth, but a player is only worth what you can get for him. Ben Simmons is not anybody's answer to winning a title. The only team that thinks he may still be the answer to winning a title is the Sixers, and that's why they haven't made a move. You will trade and get salary cap relief. You will get draft picks. You will get a couple of players that you can put into your rotation. This is what you get. You can't get what you want. You have to get what the best offer is out there because that's the true value of Ben Simmons. If you say Ben Simmons is worth a star player and 2 first-round picks, not if anybody else is giving it to you. Ben Simmons is worth what your best offer is. This baseball card, this Honus Wagner card is worth $2.1 million. What's the best offer? 1.3. You know what that card is worth? $1.3 million. That's the deal with Ben Simmons. And the Sixers are just afraid that if we trade this guy away, it's not going to work. And on the bad times are going to just heap upon us because we gave away a star and didn't get a star in return.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons is not a big star. Ben Simmons is a good player if he's your third or fourth best player on the team, right? You overvalue him, his popularity in the Kardashian world. Ben Simmons has been the same guy since he came in the league. Same exact guy. Disappearing late in the playoffs, not shooting. He is the same guy. And this is why nobody's going to give you a lot for him, because he's a luxury for a team that can say, hey, we don't need a guy that can shoot, Golden State. Hey, come on in, play great defense, rebound, dish the ball. That's all we need. You can have a great life out here. We're not going to ask you to shoot at all. Really not. Nope. You can take zero shots. No one's going to care. Steve Kerr will love you forever. This should have been done. And every day that goes by, I say there's no reason to doubt anymore why the 76ers, with the trust the process, haven't won. Because look how they handle adversity. The minute it came up with Ben Simmons, Doc Rivers throws him under the bus, and now I don't want to play there anymore. And here they are sitting around going, we don't know what to do. They do not know how to handle adversity and handle being the hunted. Hey, we got two great players in Embiid and Simmons, and yeah, we've kind of underachieved. This tells me all you need to know about the Sixers and why they haven't won big so far, because look how they're handling the Ben Simmons situation. They can't find their way out of it. And I'm sorry, but that's part of succeeding in the NBA, is being able to find the right talent to bring in, move on from talent when you have to, and keep the ship going forward. And the Sixers are like, nope, we're going to be moored here. We got the anchor. We're dropping that down into the ground. We're putting all kinds of sandbags on top of it. We are dropping anchor right here for a long time while we sit and wait and think about how to solve the Ben Simmons.
Well, and once again, we start getting all the old scouting reports that come up talking about Simmons' inability to get through adversity, how good a teammate he is, all of those things, motivations that we hadn't heard for the last couple of years. Questions of, desire to round out his game, and we've talked about that quite a bit on the show. We've now hit that territory where back injuries – Yeah, I don't know. You and I growing up, wasn't that always the out of, either was out or I just don't feel like playing because it wasn't something that was easily diagnosed. So that was one of those. And then when we get into mental health, it's a whole other difficult proposition to go through, right? Is he not wanting to face the fans? Because that was one of the things, right? Is that leaked by the team? Is that, you know, what's the story there in terms of where he's at mentally in terms of being able to play? I can't speak for the man's mental status on stuff, but, you know, the timing certainly is going to get a lot of the poison pens out and any relationship that might have been able to be mended with the fans, assuming he was going to remain a 76ers player, that probably creates a little more distance, right, in terms of how, and it's not Philadelphia fans, it's fans in any city, that there's just that question, you want to be empathetic, but also just the question of, all right, what's the reality here between management, the coaching staff, and where you are as a player and dedication to making this team great. Now, you stepped into my field of interest and expertise. The last Honus Wagner to sell sold for $6.6 million. It was an SGC3. They're only 4 graded higher of quality in this world. But yeah, that was in August. $6.6 million. So go look through the attics, and if you have a barn on your property, maybe someone hid some stuff there. I don't know. Maybe you have a family or family friend who's they once owned a convenience store, and some of the stuff was just in the stock room, and you took it home. Maybe it's there. I don't know. But, yeah, there you go. $6.6 million, buddy.
So there it is. This is why. You can't handle it. You allow this situation to just exacerbate itself. I'm embarrassed for the Sixers, but that's okay because it means better things for the Knicks.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The whole reason why I like the Dodgers going into this weekend was the Braves letting the Dodgers off the hook last night in a game that the Braves should have closed out. Finish him! And they didn't. And momentum Finish is only him. As good as your next game starting pitcher. And here's Max Scherzer on full rest. And I like him over Ian Anderson. And now it's not going to be Scherzer. It could be a combination of Gonsolin and David Price and another bullpen game. And it's, oh my God. Goodness, the Dodgers just can't catch a break. First it's Kershaw, now it's Max Scherzer, and I was feeling great up until now, because to say, all right, Scherzer, yeah, what he does in the postseason, he can't wait to pitch great and take his shirt off. Oh man, he's gonna be great. Now, yeah, my great feeling about the Dodgers is kind of out the window. I mean, this is a huge blow. And for any team, when you lose a great pitcher, you can lose guys in the lineup and put other players in and they can succeed. Because you never know when you're going to pop a guy in who's going to go 3-for-4 with a double and bring in a couple runs. Boy, what a great night he had. You know, one you can tell. But when you lose that star pitcher, you're saying, okay, we're going to get on your back throughout this game. Because I saw this as, well, Dodgers are going to win this game like 2-0. Scherzer's going to go 7 bulldog innings. He's going to throw 110 pitches. He's going to walk with his arm falling off. And the Dodgers are going to win and send this to Game 7. Now the Braves are going, oh, they don't have their guy, and they're scrambling. And now they're going to trot out David Price, who hasn't pitched since he won the World Series with the Red Sox 4 years ago. So now things are much, much more difficult. I do not feel nearly as good about the Dodgers as I did here, because the next day's starting pitcher is a really big deal.
Well, and on the other side, you have an up-and-coming starter and a guy who plays a mean power flute in a rock and roll band in Ian Anderson, who's ready for you on the other side. Look, as Steve said, look at all the names he went through of, hey, this guy might get the guy. He might get the nod. It could be Gonsolin. It could be Price. It could be, you know, all these things. And to the point of, yeah, you went through 7 relievers. And while it was a nice easy inning in sweating Jansen, 10 pitches, 9 of them strikes, you know, it's just another body and another, 10 pitches and warm-ups and everything that he went through, and now you're still in all-hands-on-deck scenario, two more games, right? It's like, oh, it's now fourth-down territory. No, it's fourth-down territory. We need to pick up the first to mix sports for a second. And all-hands-on-deck, except obviously the one that you really thought and were counting on, because, I mean, over the last 24 hours, not to a level of cockiness, but certainly a level of, all right, we got him right where we want him now, right? And some of that became a national narrative, certainly in Los Angeles. Like, all right, we're feeling better. You got Taylor and Bellinger coming up with the heroics, the Pollock with a big home run late, and the pitching did the job after Joe Kelly had to leave. So now it resets, and all of that enthusiasm, as we always talk about, momentum, real, imagined, and you liked it, it's the next starter. Well, now that next starter isn't there. And right now it's a mystery man as to who gets sent out and how many innings you're going to be able to get, because you're going to have to steal innings early in that game to keep things afloat here in Game 6. The level of intrigue just went to a whole other place.
Oh, no. Well, I know what they could do. You start Albert Pujols at pitcher. You just let Pujols pitch.
Okay.
Think about that, huh? That would take them now completely by surprise.
You want to talk about an opener.
Braves would not be expecting that Albert Pujols to pitch. That would, they would not be.
He
wouldn't
fakes.
Even need to warm up. He wouldn't even need
he
to warm up.
He thinks about faking.
And the Dodgers don't have anybody warming up in the bullpen. Oh, no, here comes Albert Pujols. He's going to take the ball and go. Doesn't need any warm-ups. He's ready. Here's the first batter of the game. Let's go. Oh, just yeah, Pujols.
Surprise. It's kind of like the anticipation of when our guy Charlie Sheen comes in. You know, you hear the opening guitar strain. Wait, it's Albert Pujols.
You know,
how's
we're
that
getting
for
to
a
that
shock
point?
And awe kind of movie?
You know, we're getting to that point where a playoff game will be started by a position player at some point. That's going to happen. A pitcher is going to start a game that's a position player. We're getting to that way in Major League Baseball.
It is the last bridge to cross, isn't it?
That's going to happen. That and Game 7 of the World Series on Thanksgiving Day. Those are the things that are coming to Major League Baseball. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up next, we got him for you. We got them all. Our upset special picks for this week in college football and the NFL. Keep it right here, Fox.
Albert Pujols!
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo!
I've already had a couple people, my friends, text me and go, you were kidding about Pujols starting the game instead of Scherzer, right?
Nope.
Yes, yes.
Not at all.
Albert Pujols!
And I know we're on AM 570 LA Sports, our flagship in Los Angeles tonight, and I'm sure more than a few people were shaking their heads or throwing things at television. It's like, it's okay. Mm. It was all a joke, just kind of taking the entirety of the situation and trying to find some levity. Although the pitcher as a position player as an opener isn't too far away.
We're getting there. I'm telling you, we're getting there. Position player as an opener and the Game 7 of the World Series on Thanksgiving Day. It's going to happen. We're getting there. It just takes a little bit longer. It's a process. But a little bit year to year, we get a little bit closer. We erode things a little bit. Eventually, we're going to get there. We'll add another round of playoffs. There'll be rainouts. Oh, we're going to get there. Thanksgiving Day, Game 7.
I like that. That's good. And then we'll have that, and then they'll bring back the blue-gray game for me, and all will be right with the world.
The blue-gray game. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend. You know his name. It is Mike Harmon. Right now, Houston still leads Boston 2-0 in the bottom of the seventh inning. We'll keep you updated on this. Tonight's show brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Every game, match, race, and competition, it is always on. Whoever you root for, whatever sport you love to watch, the biggest games are even bigger in Vegas. So make sure to plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. That's visitlasvegas.com. And with that in mind, it is time for Mike and I to make our upset special picks for the weekend in college football and the National Football League. I'm going to kick things off with something near and dear to your heart, Mike Harmon. I was 1-1.
Yeah, let's go.
11-7 on the season, upset specials. I am going with Northwestern, +24
Look at you.
Over Michigan. This is a classic Michigan letdown game with the big schedule ahead. Northwestern's defense isn't bad, and Michigan's a grinded-out team. They want to run, hit you with a big play, throw in the football. Coming off the bye, they won't be as sharp. It'll be a close game at halftime. The second half, they'll be better, and I'll sweat out a 31-10 win. But 24 points, way too much. Give me purple, and give me the Wildcats.
Hail to purple. Hail to white, hail to the Northwestern. One aside, and this is a debate now going with all our offensive lineman friend Jeff Schwartz and Rich Ornberger and others. Evidently, Washington had a number of players that suddenly weren't available. And since there are no injury reports, you had no idea. They're playing tonight. They've got Arizona. But their leading tackler, their leading rusher, and their left tackle didn't play, and nobody knew. Anyway, so we go through that. I had the Boilermakers getting the points, and I didn't want the points, beating Iowa last week. Now they're still catching three at home with Wisconsin coming in, giving up just 14 points per game, and Bell unstoppable in the receiving game. Let's go for it. Let's go for another upset win as the Boilers keep rising.
In the NFL, give me the Bengals and seven over the Ravens, a division game that there's been a lot of smack talk this week going on. Cincinnati's strength, throwing the football, meets Baltimore's weakness, defending the pass. Plus, Cincinnati's run defense is pretty good. Now that they're going to shut down Lamar Jackson, but it will be Lamar Jackson through the air. Baltimore won't be able to control the clock in this one. Both teams are going to throw it all day. Tons of points. I'll take Baltimore 38-35, but 7 points, way too much. This is a close game, and give me the Bengals.
73. That total is only 46. I love it. I love it. How about this one? This is the biggest one on the board, 57.5. But you got the Titans getting 4.5. Try to stop Derrick Henry, KC. Add the fact that Jones and Brown are ready to go. Brown with 91 receiving yards last week. He has his breakout game of the season here as the Titans win outright at home. And the hand-wringing and consternation in KC continues.
There we go. There's our upset special picks for the week in college football and the NFL. We have more NFL coming up next. Big topics here on Fox.